Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
To be fed of you, to be taught of you, to be empowered by you, to be enlightened by you, to be graced of you in all ways. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that as the word proceeds tonight, we pray that it will, our hearts will be ready so that the word can benefit us. The word will mix with faith and produce great results in Jesus' name. We pray that the simple will be made wise, and even the learned will learn in Jesus' name. Thank you because you've answered, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Good evening. Please, if you have a seat in front of you, make sure you're occupied. Make sure there's a seat in front of you. Hallelujah. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, Daddy. Good evening. Thank you so much for the opportunity always. We don't take it for granted at all. I don't take it for granted. Hallelujah. Amen. How's it been today? How has it been today? Sister Jael, how's your day been? Birthday girl. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Sister Jael, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Who is happy this evening? Glory to God. Who is not happy? Brother Taiwo is not happy. Receive joy in Jesus' name, because there's oil of gladness in the house, and whatever it is that has made you sad, solution has come tonight in Jesus' name. Oh, we have gone to Indonesia or something, I think. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I appreciate the opportunity once again. And for the past 3 weeks, for since convention, we've been looking at the power of the kingdom, and we've had people come, we've had our deacons come, Pastor Josh was here, Pastor Jayola was here, and they've been helping us to understand this. And for the past 2 weeks, I remember the first week we looked at engaging the power intentionally, and that is that from there we saw that we cannot afford to allow this thing, the word of God that we have, we can't just allow them to slide or just accept things that are not the will of God in our lives. You just accept them. For instance, some people believe that if you are born again, then you should be friends with poverty. Well, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. That's not God's will. Of course, sometimes you may have lack, and that is why we learn to abase and abound, right? But then you don't make a temporary condition permanent. You know, I tell people that when you are suffering, show me your exit plan. You know, some people they are going through challenges and they don't seem to have a plan to get out of that thing. For instance, you are in school, you don't get monthly stipend from anybody. You know, some people, they have to go to site to carry bricks, you know. But, you know, now there are two categories of people. There are people who are carrying brick, but they have a plan to get out of that. But there are people, they just do it like a career. There are some jobs you don't do like a career. Right? They are just, maybe for that time, you just do it, and because you have a better plan. So I'm saying that to remind us that we don't just accept anything that is not God's will as His will by being complacent. Like, okay, you know, some people, they just believe, okay, like some of our people, some people, they believe that whatever happens to you is the amour of God. You know, it is God, whatever. Even if it is through your own carelessness and complacency, they just believe that it is from God, and we are expected not to live such lives. You remember the case of Paul, he had a weakness in his body, and he prayed to God that, God, take this thing away. But it got to a time, God told him, don't worry yourself, my grace is sufficient for you. So we should, but before you get to that point, find out, don't just assume. Then last week we talked about going the extra mile with conviction, and we saw the examples of Stephen and Paul. I remember 11th December 2016, Pastor Bello preached about devotions, and he brought about this issue of Paul, you know, being so resolute about his calling that even the threat of death would not get him. Hallelujah. Devotions, devotions, devotions. Hallelujah. So today is the like my last appearance in this series. In a while, maybe, I don't know. And today we are talking about the anointing. Pastor gave us that assignment that we should look at how the anointing plays into the power of the kingdom. So I took it upon myself to answer to that call. Thank you for making it easier so that we have a focus. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, I was, you know, there are some things we know so well that if you are even asked, you don't even know. For instance, who should I pick on this evening? Okay, my favorite person. Favorite person. The favorite person I'm focusing on this evening looks a bit tired, but maybe she can answer still. What is a street, Sister Grace? What is a street? Street. We know, all of us know what street is, right? But what is a street? At least we know. By doing this, everybody looks like I've answered already. Bele, you are healed in Jesus' name. Don't worry, you are healed. So what is a street? A street is a street, you know. Like, some things are so common that we cannot articulate them. We cannot really describe. We know them. But it is when you get into the exam that you see what is a street. And you now be wondering, I know what a street is, but how do I really put it down? And that's, I know, maybe the anointing feels like that to us. We hear anointing, like anointing. But what exactly is the anointing? What exactly is the anointing? From everything we've been learning so far, we see something that keeps recurring. We see the Holy Spirit keeps recurring when we talk about the power of the kingdom. And sincerely, like last week, we saw the case of Stephen, full of the Spirit. So just like we have already established, we cannot wield kingdom power without being full of the Spirit, without always, without allowing the Holy Spirit take us over. Hallelujah. So, I'm talking about the power of the kingdom, the place of the anointing. Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30 from verse 22 to 33. I have many scriptures. I hope I don't bore you with them. Exodus 30, 22 to 33. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus. KJV likes the waste word. Like he already told us, half so much. And again, he went ahead to say, even 250. Okay, in case you don't know that half of 500 is 250, they are telling us now. Because God, you cannot afford to make mistake with these things. It's precision. Hallelujah. And of sweet calamus, 250. And of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of olive and hin. Olive oil is very important, like has been very important in history. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, so we can anoint the tabernacle. Of course, interestingly, today, and we shall remain the temple of the Lord, the tabernacle of the Lord, power and glory tabernacle. So, there it was, tabernacle structure, but now it's us, right? And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table and all his vessels, and the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar of incense. So it means things can be anointed too. And the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, and the laver and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. So the anointing is so much that when you put that oil, the oil is carefully crafted. And of course, let me not delay anything. Straight, know that there's a close connection with the Holy Spirit. In a sense, can be the oil. We already know that the things in the Old Testament are types and shadows of things in the New. So when you hear the oil, the anointing and everything, the Holy Spirit, it tells us of the Holy Spirit. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing unto me throughout your generations. And upon man's flesh shall it not be poured. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured. Is it not? Okay, upon the flesh, right? But in our context, what can that mean? Upon flesh, you don't pour the anointing. That was the literal flesh then. But right now, what does it mean? Like, anointing on a carnal man can be disaster, right? Anointing on a carnal person, on somebody who is not broken, can lead to trouble. Neither shall you make any other like it. You cannot even counterfeit it. You remember somebody wanted to buy the anointing. He wanted to buy the Holy Spirit with money. You cannot counterfeit it. It is God's original pure design. He has the copyright. You know, it is only the one he releases that you can get. So if you try to fake the operations of the Spirit, you enter into occultism. You enter into another realm. And it shall be holy unto you. 33. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. So you cannot fake or counterfeit the anointing. So, in the Old Testament sense, anointing is a means by which priests, kings, prophets are consecrated. They are set apart for holy use. They are set apart for holy use, like we read. Acts chapter 10, verse 36 to 38. Acts chapter 10. There we saw how Peter went to Cornelius. It was Peter now. Yeah, Peter went to Cornelius to minister to him. Cornelius had been praying, he had been doing all those things. But then there was something. So no matter how nice you are, without your faith in Jesus, whatever good thing you're doing is useless. So, but, you know, God, as a God of mercy, had to arrange for him to be born again so that whatever he was offering up to God would be acceptable. So, Acts 10:36. So at this point, Peter was already speaking to the centurion. He said, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached." 38. How God did what? Anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. So in the Old Testament, we saw the anointing is with oil. But in the New Testament, it is the Holy Ghost being poured out directly. So how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, the power of the kingdom. So you see, you have already established that the power of the kingdom and the Holy Spirit are inseparable. So you cannot have the Spirit without power. You cannot have power with, well, maybe you can have some kind of power without the Spirit. But you cannot have the kingdom power without the Holy Spirit. So who went about? So it means, now you see that full colon, right? It tells you, having been anointed with Holy Ghost and power, there are some operations that should naturally follow. And that we see, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So he couldn't do those things without being empowered. Without the power of the kingdom, we cannot do the things that we can call the mandate of God for our lives. So in the New Testament, we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself. In the New Testament, how many of you still address the Holy Spirit as it? Oh, thank God. We are all born again here. The Holy Spirit is not it. He's a person. He's a person. And thank God for people like Benny Hinn, who taught us that we can actually relate. Like, you can greet the Holy Spirit, good morning. You can tell the Holy Spirit, see, that person annoyed me, and I'm very annoyed. Please help me. If left to myself, I will misbehave. So, but then the Holy Spirit comes. He convicts us of wrongdoing and all of that. So that is the essence of the Holy Spirit. Anointing in the New Testament, the anointing comes from the concept of charisma. How many of you, of course, charisma is a very common word. Sometimes you say somebody is charismatic. When you see somebody doing something gracefully, maybe somebody can, you know, there are people, they just, when they hold the microphone to sing, it's like they are just doing it without stress. It's with ease. I remember back then in fellowship, I know people that once they carry the mic, I just know that, I know today is going to be different. Because there are people, once they start singing, I'll have goosebumps. Like, so, because they just do those things with ease. And that is what the anointing does. It helps us to operate in ease. Things that people would naturally think are beyond humans, you just see yourself flowing within them. I know many of us here, some people would have told us sometimes that, how do you even do this thing? But for you, it's like you're just living your life. But for them, it's like, oh, how come? But it's because you have been graced in that regard. You know, there's this thing. You see all these worldly musicians, they go somewhere, and then somebody just meets them, and the person just faints under the anointing. Hallelujah. So the devil has anointed some people so much that even people fall under the anointing. So in the same way, God has got even something far better than that. So charisma. Charisma. You say somebody is charismatic. It simply means the person is favored. He is graced. He does certain things with ease such that it compels admiration. People look at it and they are awed. Is that a correct English? I think so. They are surprised that, how do you do it? How possible is that? Or you see some people, they walk, and then they just look. You see some people, as they are getting older, they are looking younger. Hallelujah. You know, all of those things. Grace. Then presence. You know, there are people that will invite you to come, and then you cannot even stand in their presence. Your legs are shaking. You know, because you cannot even imagine. You cannot even imagine having to meet some kind of people. Maybe somehow you're just walking and then you run into the American president, whoever that is. You know, there's this, even if you don't like him, there's this
seen.
Okay, it was Pastor Dele that was even saying it, that when people went to visit Emi Abilorin, and there's just something. I'm not saying that is Jesus' anointing, but they have their own kind of anointing. They have conjured things. They have conjured things such that if you get there, you have to quit yourself like a man to be able to stand in their presence, because they have been soaked in certain things. They have been so much anointed in some things. Hallelujah. So the anointing of the Holy Spirit works hand in hand. The anointing and the Holy Spirit, I think I've said that, works hand in hand. Work hand in hand. In the Old Testament, we see the Holy Spirit coming on people as a result of anointing with oil. In the New Testament, the anointing is a direct outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In all, the anointing confers on us the Holy Spirit, who enables us to manifest kingdom power. You already saw what Jesus did. He healed the sick. In fact, he even said it in I think Isaiah chapter 61 from verse 1 to 11. He said the Holy... Can we see that? So the anointing comes on you so that you can do certain functions. You can perform certain functions. And later in the book of Luke chapter 4 verse 18, he read that scripture and he told them that today this scripture is fulfilled before your very eyes. But this is the original place where that came from. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Why? Because. So the Spirit comes because you have been anointed. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of prison to them that are bound. So if you have people who are meek, you have people who are brokenhearted, you already have a ministry. And you, of course, you don't have to look too far to see people who are in these conditions and need help, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now, because of the kind of troubles we have in Nigeria, that is why you are here. People don't see any hope, right? But you are still able to tell them, see, even if Nigeria gets worse and worse, you don't have to be affected. You don't have to go down with Nigeria, right? You know, Jerusalem went down. Babylon came and took all of them away. But some people, it was a blessing for some kind of people. Somebody like Daniel, it was a blessing for him. In fact, Jeremiah, he had special considerations. He was told to choose. Do you want to stay here? Or you want to come with us? Like, see, he was supposed to be a slave, right? So we have the Holy Spirit so that we can minister life to people, even in the midst of chaos, even when everything is falling apart, you can still give hope. And it's not like you're just psyching them up. It's not like you're just telling them to refire, to perspire so that they can acquire. No, you are telling them spirit, and it's something that is actually sinking into their heart. So to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. You know, I think it was the psalmist that was saying it in Psalm 45 verse 7. He said, because you have loved righteousness and you hate iniquity, so God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. So the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So you see, everything around us in Nigeria should make us sad. Nobody should be happy, naturally. Everybody should, we should all be gloomy, like sad and forlorn, if that English is correct, like just looking morose. But then, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. So the anointing makes us trees of righteousness. Like it makes you make other people trees of righteousness. They can look at your example, that why is it that you are so unaffected by everything that is happening all around? In fact, with all this hardness, you are thriving, you are shining. You are sowing and you are reaping hundredfold. And then they can come and ask for your God. The planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So all of these things to the end that God might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste. I don't know, you know, people say that Nigeria, okay, well, maybe Nigeria was a very good place. People out of university, you already had jobs waiting. You had a problem of selecting what to choose. Some people had cars waiting back in those days. Those stories can be very annoying, right? Because the same people that enjoy those benefits are the ones that have turned it all around. Hallelujah. And the ones that attended free missionary schools now have private schools that people cannot afford to attend, except if they are like them. and they shall build the old ways. They shall raise up the former desolations. So you can't be in Nigeria at a better time than this. You know, just like you already know, like, that light makes more sense when there's darkness. Light makes more sense when there's darkness. Light makes more sense when there's darkness. And that is why you should arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Even if darkness, gross darkness, cover the people, you can arise as light and shine. No matter how little that light is, it will make a lot of sense to people. And they shall build the old ways, they shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. You know, we are supposed to be nation builders. We may not have to go into politics to make that happen, because we are a governmental people. We can establish, we can enact God's kingdom. And God may be calling some of us to and giving us grace to go right there where the lions and foxes are. We just need to be very careful and to surround ourselves with people that will help us, because that's a very terrible place to go. But if Daniel could survive, we can survive so much more. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. You know, we already saw it, that the oil is used to consecrate priests, kings, prophets, and even items for God's use. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. You know, the Bible, in the New Testament, we see that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are kings and priests unto our God. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. Just because of the anointing. Verse 8. For your shame. Okay, sorry. I think it's 7. Sorry, I think you have faster. Okay, great. For your shame you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Verse 9. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. Because you have been anointed. Because you are making, you are calling other people out to come into the anointing. Verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. It all started with the Holy Spirit coming upon us as a result of the anointing. Hallelujah. So you don't get anointed just for the fun of it. You get anointed so that you can show forth the glory of God, so that the glory can belong to God. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Start reading from verse 18. 1 John chapter 2 from verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Okay, we read Acts chapter 10 from 36 to 38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power. Now, you know, we say Jesus Christ, right? We always talk about Jesus Christ. The Christ is the anointing, right? Or Messiah. Anointing is Messiah. So, and that is what sets him apart. That is why he's different from... There are many Jesuses. Like, literally, if you go to Spain, is it Spanish world or Portuguese-speaking world? There are many Jesuses. I know the football guys know plenty Jesuses. But this Jesus is distinguished because he's the one. He's the one that the Father said we should listen to, because this is my beloved one, whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Because he's anointed. So Messiah, Christ, is the anointing. He's the anointed one of the Father, and is the ultimate person of that anointing. So now we are coming here to talk about Antichrist. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. So if Christ is the anointing, Antichrist is anything that is against that the anointing, right? Anything that is against the anointing, anything that is against the operation. Of course, you already know that the anointing is to help you do the will of God, to enforce the power of God, to enforce the kingdom of God on earth. So Antichrist is any operation against all of that. And ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Verse 20. But ye have an unction. The word unction is actually the anointing. Now, interestingly, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. So the anointing, now we have already seen that the anointing and the Holy Spirit, they are one and the same. So, and the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit, when Jesus was going, he promised us that the Holy Spirit was coming, that he would lead us into all truth. And because he leads us into all truth, now we have the anointing, which is about the Holy Spirit, and we know all things. So if there's something you don't know, it's because you are not ready to know. Hallelujah. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Verse 21. Now we still suffer today because we don't know all things, and because we have not bothered to find out. Because we already have, just like, I think it was I don't know if it was Job or Proverbs, where the Bible says that the heart of man is like a deep well. Like the counsel in the heart of a man is like a well or something like that, that you can draw it out. So because we have the Holy Spirit, we already have all the answers. But we still walk around in darkness because we have not bothered to find out. And that is why we do things like fast. We pray so that we can be sensitive to pick signals from God. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. So he's writing because not because they were ignorant, but because they actually know. And they are supposed to know, and they can always know if they care to listen to the Holy Spirit. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? That is the Antichrist. He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Okay? Whosoever denies the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. 25. And this is the promise that he had promised us, even eternal life. The promise of the Father to us is eternal life. Life unending. And the life is a continuum. It's not like you die before you enter it. You can begin to even access it right now. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. 27. Very important verse 27. Are we stuck? Okay, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you. Of course, we still teach ourselves because most of us are lazy to really find out things. So we'd rather go through a medium. And as Africans, you know, you don't believe anything if there's no drama. But we don't need the drama because we have the Spirit. He's the ultimate thing we need. So we keep coming together so we can keep helping ourselves up, so that we can all come to maturity. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. That is in Christ. Like I said, Christ is the ultimate person, the ultimate personification of the anointing. And now, little children, abide in him. To make the anointing remain, you have to keep abiding, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. The Bible says that we do not know what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. So if you are not like him, you go and hide, because you have not become what you should really become. Hallelujah. Am I too fast? I feel I'm going too fast. So I've told us about the essence of the anointing, the Messiah, the word Messiah, the word Christ. They both mean anointing. And that is why the person we are following is Jesus Christ. So like we've learned previously, we learned that the knowledge of God, like the power of the kingdom is activated by knowledge. So that the more we know of God, the more power is accessible, we can access, right? And now we are seeing that for that power to come, we can only access through the Holy Spirit, through the anointing, through the Holy Spirit. You know, in the Old Testament, like in the case of David, when David was anointed, when oil was poured on him, the Spirit of God rested upon him permanently. Like I think we have in First Samuel 15 from verse 11 to 13. So the Spirit comes and then the anointing flows. The oil is poured, and then the Spirit rests. Okay, it repented me that I have set Saul up to be king. I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandment. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, are we reading the right place? 1 Samuel 15. Okay. And when Saul rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up. Can we check 2 Samuel 15? Oh, can we look at 13 then? 13. I think it's not 1 Samuel. Okay, verse 13, let's see. Okay. So I think I'm meant to go further than that. And Samuel arose and got him up. Can we jump to where he anointed David? So that will save time. Just go down. Okay. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was... Okay. Okay. So the essence is... the 16. Chapter 16, verse what? Okay. 16, 14. Okay, 11. Then Jesse made Shemaiah pass. Okay, can we read 11? 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, and hear all thy children. I hear all thy children. And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. Now, a man was told to bring his children. All his children. But there was just this way. He felt that this one, no day. Imagine. Like, not necessary. Doesn't belong here. But interestingly, the rejected stone became the masterpiece, the chief cornerstone. And Saul said unto Jesse, I hear all thy children. And he said, there remaineth here the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for he will not sit down till he come hither. Right? And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. This is he. 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Now, for the most part in the Old Testament, when the Holy Spirit usually visited people and left. But this David was enjoying New Testament privileges even right from the Old Testament. Like the Holy Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Not like the Spirit came and went away again, no. So somebody like Elijah, the Spirit will come and he will scatter the whole place. The Spirit will go again, he cannot do anything, he'll be afraid of Jezebel. Hallelujah. But for David, it came and it rested. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramath. So, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. The oil was poured, the Spirit rested from that day forward. Hallelujah. So, now in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, from verse 21, there we see that because we follow Jesus Christ, we partake in his anointing. 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. So, Christ is the anointing. So if he's the firstborn among many brethren, so it means that we are, the Bible even says, I think it was Paul or Peter, one of those apostles that said that we are Christ, we are little Christ. So we partake in that anointing. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, verse 22, who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So the Holy Spirit is like the sign that, you know, when you see this, you know I'm married. So the Holy Spirit is the seal, is the sign that we have been anointed. Of course, what I'm talking about today is not by any means going to exhaust the subject of anointing, because people also have special kind of anointing, like the ministry gifts, the gift of the Spirit, and all those operations. They have their dimensions in, as regards the anointing. So, because we follow Jesus, we partake in his anointing. Now, one interesting meaning for the anointing I found is serious. That we see that in Psalm 23, verse 5. Psalm 23, verse 5. That the... what is that thing again? The shepherd's psalm. Is that the name we call it? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd's psalm. Okay. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Now, the idea of oil here is fatness. You know, like in those days, if you visited someone, a lavish party where a feast is holding, the kind of feast you had in the time of Esther. So you have lavish parties thrown, you have oil in abundance, it talks about lavish provision and everything. And this is a dimension of God we should also be aware of. We should know these things so that the devil will not keep punishing us to think that poverty is nothing, is our possession, right? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. So the meaning of the anointing here is fatness, right? Fatness. And we also saw a dimension of this in Isaiah 10:27 that says that by reason of the anointing, of the fatness, you will break your yoke. So God wants to make us fat in every regard, that some things can no longer hold us down. You know, of course, maybe when you are yet immature, when you are yet ignorant, there are things that trouble you. Maybe I remember there was this time I used to have this, maybe I sleep and something is pressing me down and I'll be struggling to speak, I'll be struggling to talk and everything. And I remember Pastor Dele was counseling someone about that several years ago, and he just told me, or maybe it was something we're talking about generally, and it was like, some of these things, you will try and try and try, nothing happens because you're still immature. But when you grow, you will just ask yourself that, where is that experience? You don't find it anymore because you have grown so fat in the spirit, you have grown so big that some shackles just break off naturally. So that's what we see in Isaiah 10:27. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away, the burden of the Assyrians and all the other enemies that took you bondage in bondage. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing, because of fatness. Like, it's just like you have been tied with a rope, and then because you are young, you don't have so much power, the rope remains there. Then you become fat, so much fat that the thing, your fatness just breaks it off. Like, you just shake it off. Hallelujah. So that's another dimension of these things, that we can be fat, spirit, soul, and body. Like, we can be mighty, we can be powerful, such that the devil does no longer hold us in bondage. Hallelujah. Amen. So, and that also talks about the Isaiah, Psalm 45, verse 7 that I read the other time about the oil of gladness. The oil of gladness. So, generous provisions of God. Now, interestingly, in the New Testament, the anointing still, the oil, you know, just like I said the other time, in the Old Testament, you had people, oil comes upon their heads and they get set apart unto God. Or maybe some people are consecrated, a king, a priest, a prophet is consecrated unto God. At some other times, and all those consecration, it's the Spirit of God that comes upon them so that they can do what they have been ordained to do. So, and that is to tell us that when we hear about the anointing, most of the time we are thinking of pastors, evangelists, prophets, teachers, apostles. No, it's for priests and it's for kings. That means it's for every, just like we have learned already, that no, every part of your life is a continuum, and there's no futa life and PGT life. It's one life, and you should, in futa, you should be a good representative of PGT, of the body of Christ, of the kingdom of God. So we always like to talk about spiritual life, academic life, and everything. So, and there are some lives that God does not have access to. Say, God, you can only come this far and no more, and you know he won't force you. Hallelujah. So our life should be in one piece. So the anointing is for every aspect of our lives. So you need the anointing to be a correct pastor, to be a correct husband, a correct son, father, teacher, prophet, brother, sister. Like you need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be an unusual one of those things. Hallelujah. Amen. So where did I have I already called the scripture? James 5 verse 14. So I'm just trying to say that, and we said I in the New Testament, you know, Joel, in the book of Joel says that in the last days I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. So it was all that was poured before. Now it's pouring spirit upon all flesh. And once the spirit comes there, all some actions always follow. And it talks about you know, people seeing visions, people seeing dreams, old men having dreams, and young people having visions and everything. I don't know, maybe old men will dream dreams because they get to sleep a lot or something, I don't know. Hallelujah. So, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So, we are very free to anoint people with oil. I think we even studied this during the believers class on Sunday about when you're sick, let us know. Because we can't always... Some people are angry that nobody's checking up on them. But the fact is that if we don't know, we may not know. Maybe sometimes, as by virtue of relationship, we can find out some things. So, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So, in the final analysis, is it the oil that is healing the person or what? The oil is just a means. So if you don't see oil, don't think that you won't be still healed, right? At the end of the day, it's about the faith you have in the anointed Jesus. Hallelujah. And the prayer of faith. So is it the oil that is healing? No. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Hallelujah. Shall be forgiven him. So the anointing Lord still has a place in the New Testament for things, for operations like that. And we also saw some Mark 6:13. Can we see Mark 6:13? Okay, no signal. Mark 6:13. The time is running so fast. But I think I'm running fast too. Mark 6:13. If you are there, just read, please. Mark 6:13. Thank you. Okay, anointed many who were sick and healed them. So, if you are looking for, you know, people have abused the use of oil and mantle and all of those things today. So, if we don't moderate our relationship with those things, they can become the main thing instead of Jesus. And of course, just like I keep saying, in Africa, we like media. We like to go through something. We believe you cannot go to God directly, so you need to use something as a point of contact and everything. But don't forget that it is faith in Jesus that does the job finally. So, the last scripture for tonight, Psalm 105, at least for me, Psalm 105 from verse 13 to 15. Psalm 105 from 13 to 15. Psalm 105, 13. When they went from one nation to another, this is talking about the Israelites, you know, as they were going to the land of promise. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes. Even kings were rebuked for their sakes. Saying what? Touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. So just like in our own journey, you know, our journey towards perfection, towards maturity, towards eternal life, there are many kings and principalities and powers all over the place trying to hedge us in, trying to keep us in one place. But then, because of the anointing, we can be untouchable to them. We are untouchable to them because we are protected. We are guarded by the Spirit of God. Can we pray tonight that God help me to understand more about the anointing? Help me to align myself correctly with your anointing, and to do your will, to exhibit your power, to demonstrate your power in all things. That the anointing will be manifestation. Just like I said initially, the anointing makes you do things with ease. It just looks like, you don't just struggle. When you get to your workplace, you just, when people are struggling to do things, you just do it with ultimate ease. Can we pray tonight, Lord? We pray for higher dimensions of your anointing, for better understanding of your operations about the anointing, and help us, Lord, we align with these things and our lives are better for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Pastor.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.